Working? Amazing. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll call to order meeting of the Board of Trustees, August 18th, 2025. It's now 7:33. Present are myself, Mr. Zeidel, and Mr. Greenwald. We're missing Deputy Mayor and Mr. Greenberg. So we have a quorum. Let's begin with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. First on the agenda, open public comment period. Can someone make a motion?
I'll make a motion to open.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Greenwald. Second by Mr. Zeidel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Mr. Orange, anybody signed up for
Yes, we have quite a panel. The first one is Mrs. Margaret Cruz.
Hello, I'm Margaret Cruz. I live at 129 Camp Hill Road, on Pomona. And I'm here because I have a couple of things that I'm concerned about that are problematic to me as a neighbor across the street from 130 Camp Hill and the construction and some of the ramifications of that construction. One of the things is I have requested, there's been a lot of parking, of cars parking on my property on the trees that align my property. They've been parking on the roots. I had requested a no parking sign about a month ago. I wanted to know if there's any progress on that. And that request came through Bill Press, the code enforcer. I had sent him video, I don't know if anyone else has seen it, showing the egregious parking that's been going on by members of the shul, synagogue, I'm not quite sure, so forgive me for that part. But coming in, rolling over my trees, over the roots to park, rather than trying to go in and look for parking. Now I understand that there's construction and there isn't full parking, but the website of the shul says if you can't find parking, there are neighbors who are willing to, within the community, who are willing to put your car, you know, have you park there. This hasn't been happening. So I wanted to know where the progress is on that stop sign at any time. No parking at any time. Because I've refrained from towing away the cars, which is my right to do. I know it's my expense, but it is my right to do. I don't want to get aggressive. I've had to get aggressive with a couple of people, and it's gotten a little ugly with someone. I don't like doing this, but I will do it. So in order to avoid that, I'd like to proceed with this no parking at any time, period.
So can you mentioned you talked to Bill?
Correct.
Can you please, Bill, can you tomorrow contact a village clerk who's behind you?
Okay.
You can send him an email. Can you check, depending on the details, can you check with our village engineer? Concerning towing, by the way, police department will handle this. You don't need
The police department leaves it to me as the homeowner. They don't have a show because I have Haverstraw police where I live.
They have been very cooperative. Very cooperative.
But this shouldn't have to go that far. Now, I spoke to them. I have a record with them because I was forced to start documenting this. Now, this has been going on for a couple of years. It's only become egregious because now work is happening across the street at 130. Work is actually taking place. It's been quiet there for, you all know this, for about 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's a record there. The police have gone there, have asked the members to, who's ever not supposed to be parking on the grass, to please pull out, which is no longer grass, it's now dirt. But it still caused property damage.
Yeah.
That comes into property damage.
Yeah.
Who do I sue? Could I sue the shul? Probably. I don't want to take that route, I want to fix this. And I think getting the no parking sign is a strong thing because it leads me to my second point. And my second point is, I don't know if the board is aware of this, but in the evenings, again, some of the congregants are coming in. They're not trying to look for parking. Some do. Some swing into the driveway. And by the way, I can back all this up with my security system. I can show you a videotape. Pick a day, any time of night. Some of them do drive in and try and look for parking. Some do not even try. They park on the shul side, right on the grass, so you're right off the road of Camp Hill. Some leave their lights flashing. Now, if you know Camp Hill and you know that section, when you're coming from Camp Hill to Haley, so you're going to St. Paul Hollow, the road starts to bend down, right? It starts to go on a downslope. The shul is right there. Their driveway is right there when this bend starts to happen. With the lights flashing, some have parked their cars where the headlights are facing oncoming traffic. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I mean, that's a potential lawsuit if there's an accident to the village. It's also an annoyance to me as a homeowner because I don't like seeing flashing lights, you know, at any time. This goes back to if you can't find room in your parking that was designated, you need to make other arrangements as provided by the shul itself. Something needs to happen. The board, I'm hoping, can do something here that has teeth to enforce this, because it's not a nice quiet environment with the light pollution and the slamming of the cars' doors, which I understand, you know, no one's going to go like this, but still, you know, this was a residential area, still a residential area. We're doing this just to re-remind the board, because I haven't been here in 2 years. I was never against the shul, but they have to comply with the rules and the regulations of the town and the county and the state. There is no room for negotiation on this. Making an ad hoc parking spot because you don't want to drive up or you don't want to contact the people, your own congregants, to say, hey, if there's no spot here, can I park in your parking lot? That needs to happen. Why is it not happening? They themselves, the administrators of the shul have provided this for the congregants. This is not being followed. Now, I've put boulders to prevent parking on the my side of Camp Hill, which has been effective. No one wants to scratch up their car. That's great, but it doesn't stop the parking that's happening and the lights flashing happening on the other side, which is, I believe, a traffic endangerment. In addition to just being annoying to me with flashing lights, because I live across the street, you're talking bright lights, car lights flashing for half an hour, and a half, however long the person wants to stay at the shul. So that was my second point. So it kind of ties in with this no parking at any time. And a towing also, as a warning to anybody. I've been told in the past that because I've gone across the street and asked, please don't, you know, please remove the cars. And there's been a couple times that I've flipped out, I'll be quite honest, and I've yelled and I've gotten angry because how many times do I have to say this? It's been 2 years, more than that, that I've had to go over there. I don't like doing this. I don't like having to be put in this position to tell you to obey the laws. And part of the problem is, or a reason I've been given is, they're new, the people who parked here, they're new. That's fine, I understand that. But this constant parking, and again, I can back this all up with Ring Security, this constant parking at night and the light flashing, that's that's untenable. Nobody would like this in front of their house. Nobody. I can't think of anybody who would be fine with that unless you are a member and, you know, this is for you. Clearly, I'm not a member. I'm a Christian. That sky, because that's the least concern. That sky, this is a nuisance, a light nuisance. Now, 2 years ago, when I was here, I spoke about, and a lot of people poo-pooed this, about lights of when the cars come down the driveway flashing across my yard and hitting my door. That's happening. That's already happening. So there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to come to the village and request a fence, a solid fence, which I'll pay for, but it shouldn't be my expense to have these lights not hit my living room and my door, front door, any of the house. This is already happening, and again, I can show you plenty of tape. The new parking that's happening up there it equals my second floor, which is my bedrooms. Now, I discussed this, and I believe the board approved, and I believe the mayor, you were integral in this, in making sure that there's a fence, because a Originally, they wanted to put deciduous trees, which means leaves fall off. That's not a solution in the wintertime. Half of the year is in the wintertime. Plus, you have your prayers at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. So trees is not an answer. It was granted the fence would be put up, a 4-foot fence, height. You might want to think about, because I will be putting a camera outside my bedroom window so that it gets recorded. You might want to think about having them create a berm and then putting the 4-foot fence, which equates to a 5-foot fence, to stop the larger trucks, you know, that come in, the larger SUVs. Plus, in the wintertime, there's going to be all that plowing. Those are large trucks. I don't need to be seeing headlights hitting my bedroom window at 2 or 3 whenever the plows come in. I mean, these are things that should have been thought of by the whoever planned this out. You know, the shul people, whoever made the design for this. You know, these are issues for me, directly for me, the light part, the parking light part. Another thing, I noticed in the plans, at the front of the entrance of the new, I guess, shul, I don't know what it is. Is it a rectory? Is it a hall? What is it? All right, the front doors of it. There, in the plans, there originally was about 5 or 6 parking spots for the future. Is that still in the future, or are you going to start incorporating that? Because then we're right back to the headlights hitting the house. Now, I have someone had their lights parked, and they were facing Camp Hill. Big, bright, nice lights from an SUV on high. High beams. That's not supposed to be happening. I don't think anybody here would like it if it was happening to them. So going back to that, the future parking thing in front of the entrance, that may need to be readdressed and have another fence put up there to mitigate that. And I want to say this because I noticed this in Westchester. I was at a doctor's office, and there was a synagogue, and this beautiful synagogue. But this synagogue was behind what looked like to be 8 to 10 feet brick wall. And the reason that people could come in, I saw the driveways, you could come in, you know, make a left in this parking. The reason that they had these high, high walls has to be because across the street was a row of homes. I'm 100% sure they didn't want to see the park, you know, the headlights of cars coming in and out. This isn't like it's a regular home that's across the street where it's okay, you know, the people who come in and out once or twice, 3 times a day. This is how many parking spots? 28 parking spots, how many times a day? Especially in the winter. It's a mini highway. Likewise. So these things, I think, need to be addressed now while there's still time. There's still, you know, this building is just taking place. Landscaping is coming down the pipe. All of this should be looked at, revisited, in my opinion. You know, I'm the only one who lives at 129 Camp Hill. I'm the only one who has these issues. I'm the only one who can speak to this. Nobody else can speak to what's happening across the street but me. The third thing, and this leads to something that I don't want to get into, but I'm going to. Construction has been happening on Sundays. Last week, 6:45 a.m., again, I can back all this up, heavy construction began at the shul. This past Sunday, 8:05, construction began. It's not quiet, it's loud. My question is, why is construction happening on a Sunday? And first of all, why is it happening on a Sunday? As I stated before, I'm a Christian. There's more than one holy day. The Sabbath is your holy day. Sunday is my day as a Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. I find it very disrespectful that this is happening on a Sunday. On a Sunday. I shouldn't have to argue this point. I shouldn't have to, you know, beat anybody over the head with this. This should be a non-given. Why is anybody doing this heavy construction? This isn't, you know, mowing the lawn where you can you stop after 40 minutes, half an hour. This is all day. Why is it starting so early? Why is it happening at all? But if it's happening, why is it starting before the 10 o'clock? Doesn't the town have regulations that say, Ramapo say, you don't begin before 10 and you end before 4 or by 4? These are problems. These need to be addressed. The board, I believe, has power to do this. I want to request from this is the attorney, why can't you have a cease and desist order for Sunday? Why is this happening? Why is my holy day being disregarded? That's it. That's all I have to say. I do have other things, but I want to see what happens once the blacktop happens on the driveway, see how the privacy fence comes in, to what extent, and if it hits any of my bedroom windows, or any of the property. I've spoken about this before. I don't think anything I'm saying is unreasonable. I don't think anything I'm saying is a burden in any way, shape, or form to the shul, to the creation of the shul. Someone I remember, a lady speaking from Aspen Court, who said something to the effect of she wants to be able to come in, didn't want any fences, wants to be able to come in and enjoy the shul on the way in. I thought about that statement, and it's a nonsensical argument to me, because presumably you're coming into the shul, you're passing, you're taking 3 minutes to pass the shul, to get into the driveway, to park your car, and spend, what, 5, 6, 7 hours surrounded by 4 walls, a ceiling, and a floor. The detriment of having a fence that protects the neighbors. I don't know why there aren't more neighbors here. Who wants headlights hitting their bedroom? Who wants them hitting their living room? Flashing hours, you know, and we have winter here. So this is a problem, and it could be addressed now, should be addressed now while construction is happening. Something beautiful could happen there. Beautiful landscaping. You could have they could have a beautiful wall. A beautiful fence. You don't have to have your 10-foot like I saw in Westchester. And I'd be very happy to bring you the pictures of that synagogue. They did a beautiful brick job. I'm not suggesting we need a 10-foot fence, but we need something that's going to be effective in blocking headlights. And it has to account for SUVs, which are getting bigger and brighter. So I apologize if I am coming off a little strong, but I want you to understand my situation and really understand the situation of what's going on. And I can send anybody video at any time. This is easy for me to back up. But this whole thing with the parking, that's something the board should be looking at very closely, because this pointing of the lights towards oncoming traffic, flashing for however long it is on the grass, is a non-starter, and the board should be on this. The board should be totally on board with this. This is not supposed to be parking on grass in New York state law, is my understanding, or county, or town, or village.
There might be some others, so maybe we should
wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, I tried to speak loud in order for it to get to the recording.
So, if you can tomorrow, email Mr. Orange about the no parking sign. He'll contact Mr. Martin Spence and see where that is holding. Okay.
You don't have to. You can email me. Email is the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Has. Who's next?
The next one is.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Daniel Berger. I live on 21 Ormain Drive, behind the construction project at 130 Camp Hill. Just two issues that came up. Last Thursday, they took bulldozers and yanked out the one or two remaining trees that abut their side of the property. I remember in the planning, this shul, the 130 Camp Hill, there were supposed to be some trees that were left up. They were all taken down. So I want to know if it was possible to revisit the decision not to have some sort of privacy gate. I didn't know if she was going to say that too, but if that could be reconsidered. So putting up some sort of barrier to keep the light from that they want to put up within the confines of their property. And secondly, they frequently start construction at like 6:50, 6:45 in the morning with the loud construction, and then are done at like 8. I want to know if there's somebody I can work with to get that rearranged so that the heavy equipment is used later in the day, not at 6:50.
There's a code. The code does not allow work before, right, during the, I think in the weekend, I think it starts at 9. It used to be 8. We upped it to 9 over the weekend.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely, yes. And if you remember, do you remember the code? Is it 7 or 8? Do you remember?
I believe it's 8.
I think it's 8, right? I think it's 8. That's a violation. So
definitely not
6:15. Yes, definitely not 6:15. Yeah, that's definitely that. Yeah, that's definitely before. So you have our code enforcer's information?
No, but I'll get that.
That will be Bill Press. If you can, and at the same time, I'll also make it sure Mr. Lasker's not in today because he, I know, dealt with the issue, was the issue a few months ago, and I think he told me he dealt with it, so I'll ask him also if he can also revisit the issue. So if you can go on to Bill Press, he's the code enforcer, and again, 7 or 8, 6:45 is not according to the rules. Again, 6:45, and again, as I said, in the weekend, we upped it to, was it 9 or 10 now? So I think Saturday and Sunday 10 o'clock is the earliest.
Okay.
Is the earliest you can do in Pomona. Yeah, we upped it from, it was 9 and we upped it to 10. Yeah. So that's the, if you can just again, if you can contact him and if you can't find him, then Moshe will contact him. Okay? Thank you. Anyone else, Moshe? Or
John.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, I'm John McDowell, 126 Campbell Road. Guess what I have to talk about tonight?
6:45.
I thought it was 6:40, but, over the years, we've been really trying to work with the neighbors. We're not the kind of people that come for any small matter to the village. We don't really want to be here tonight. You probably don't want to hear these, what we're saying. It's a hassle. I think the message is that just follow the code, and I'll just list what, some are redundant, but yes, last Sunday it was either 6:40 or 6:45, a backhoe was working, it was very loud, over gravel, and it woke me up. I walked over at 7:10 and I nicely talked to the driver and said, it's early, and he said, no, I can start at 7, it's posted on the front of the shul, and he said, you want to see it, and I said, I was tired, I said, no, just, it's too early, so I called Bill Press, he said, no, it's early, it's way too early, he said 8 o'clock for normal days, he wasn't actually seemed to be sure about the weekend, but I think it seems to be either 9 or 10, we had to figure that out. But definitely, they've been starting before 8 o'clock regularly, weekdays and weekends. The other thing is, I have the same issue. People are we're one house this side of the shul on the, that would be the...
the right.
Yeah, on the right side of the street here. They're parking on our grass. It's now eroded. Someone knocked off a limb of a tree, which is a little bit of a fence. I would rather not have to put up no parking signs, but it's not being regulated. The clear cutting of the trees. I thought the plan was there would be a perimeter of trees, and I mean, from what I understand, it's been clear cut. I mean, there's hardly a tree left on that 1.5 acre property. Is it possible for us to see the plan?
It's public material. Yes.
I mean, could we? This is sort of a coincidence tonight because a lot of.
If you can contact tomorrow, Moshe, he'll find it for you. Yeah. Okay. And if anything that's handed in, it's public domain and therefore foilable. Yeah. And yeah, and the code calls for planting, so yeah, that is part of the part of the code.
Small trees, these are 50-year-old, 60-year-old trees that they're providing cover for this gentleman. So the other thing is that the trash. When I came here, I guess it was a year or 2 years ago, it was interesting to hear the plan, and I said, just by the way, we've been having trouble with trash. What happens is it seems to be the predominant thing is they're not following the codes, but they're also underestimating things. They had garbage cans. Bears would come, spread out everywhere, but then because our property has a lot of woods, they bring it over our property. I've picked up garbage bags full of woods, trash, and I've talked to Yossi, the guy who owns it, and he's very nice, but it's just sort of yes, 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 and he'll send a couple people to pick up some trash, and I continually pick up trash, and it's things are blowing over, but I also pick up bottles, which obviously haven't been blown over the fence. And the other thing is the light pollution. Cars pull up to the fence, our fence, and the lights are shining right in our bedroom window. Now, one thing about the parking is this is why it would be good to see the plan, is that I thought that our side, there would be a children's playground area, but the backhoe operator said, he was like urgent, I had to make a parking area so people can park. I mean, it was all gravel, but it was on our side, so that's a concern. And I don't like saying this, but on Saturday, I was picking up trash, and young kids were on the other side of the fence. They're always very sweet. They always want to get into conversation, and they said, "Do you smell that?" And I said, "Yes, I do smell it." And they said, "Well, the sewage tank is overflowing," and one of the kids had spray of sewage on his back. I mean, it's like, wow. It's out of control over there. And I feel like I want to be a nitpicker, but it's like, that's not, things happen. Something can, the portable tank can overflow, but the people kept flushing, apparently, because they were all day letter. And, the kids should not be playing around that. They shouldn't be allowed in a construction site, it just doesn't make sense. So, as has been said, I fully support the temple. Everybody has a right to honor their faith. But it's one thing for the architect to promise things, but he's gone, and so it's just us and you and the code enforcer, and we just want them to follow the codes. Mm-hmm. What else? If we look at the plan and they're not following it, do we come back to a meeting or do we call you? Or what if it says keep 10-30 trees or 20 trees and it's cut down?
So plans are there. These things happen when the building process is done, and then once there's a request for CO, then you check that everything is there. So until that happens, really this is still a work in progress. But that being said, you can look at the plans immediately. Again,
you can't replace a tree, a 100-foot tree, if it's cut down.
But the part of the code is planting, and that is part of the process. Therefore, part of the planning board's approval included that element. Not the planning board. I'm sorry. The ZBA. I'm sorry. Not the planning board, the zoning board of appeals, right. I'm sorry. Part of their approval, they included that. So, is that correctly? You already contacted Ville Press concerning the time?
I did contact about the time.
Okay. If you can, maybe send an email again to him and CC Mr. Orange.
Okay.
With the details, it seems that there's two. So he'll get both issues, okay?
Okay, and just lastly, given the circumstances, I have to say, I'm really concerned about the two things, the fence, same issue that will protect us from trash and lights and things like that. I really don't have faith that they're going to follow through, given our experience, and I just feel like they need more scrutiny. And they're not bad people, but I think either... They don't understand the code, or I have to say, maybe they don't care. But it's not my problem to, you know, to go further, but I think it just needs to be, it needs some real scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Just to be very clear, if there's road issues, Haverstraw PD has been great with us. Okay. They have been amazing with us. Specifically, when we compare them to other departments in the area.
Yeah.
So I encourage, if there is any issue with, again, road issues, contact them. They have been impeccable.
Yeah.
They have been impeccable, and they have been quick, and they have been very swift and very clear with their duties. So.
Yeah.
If there's any issues in that element, please.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they block our second driveway, and instead of calling the police, I go out and say, please don't park, and, you know, maybe they don't know, but that it keeps happening. We're going to have to keep, you know, call the police. Do you want to say about that? Should I just say about park?
I'm
going to.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anything that I can do to help the board? Like, should I contact Waller? Should I contact someone so that there's teeth behind what's... So that there's something, there's a resolution.
Concerning the road issues, the village does not have, not yet at least, we don't have a police department yet. So we can't enforce anything that has to do with the road. That has to be done through PD. Concerning what we can do, again, we do have the ability to put in signs, no parking signs, and that, again, there's a certain little process, and the key person is our trusted village engineer, and we'll contact him to see that this is moving as far as that element. Anything has to do with the process, we have a code enforcement, and once the applicant is finished, they will need to comply with the plan to get the CO. I will mention this. Can you please, Mr. Zuma is away this week, correct? When he's back next week, can you please leave a note, tell him that I would like to talk about this, and if you can approach the applicant and give him a follow-up on these issues. So basically, both Bill Press, of course, can deal with the issue of the timing, and we can also ask Mr. Zumo to have a conversation concerning the progress of this project and where it's holding. So hopefully, that could resolve the issues. Hopefully, a swift conversation could put everybody back into place. Okay. So when he's away.
I'll be back Monday.
Just Monday. Okay. So if you can leave him a note and just make sure we talk. Thank you so much, Mr. Orange. Anyone else?
The last one.
Oh. Okay.
Good evening. Alexandra Svadea, 126 Campbell Road. So first of all, I want to thank you for being open to hear what you shared this evening, and a lot of what I was concerned about was already expressed, so I don't need to repeat much. Certainly the last point, which I had put on my form, had to do with the traffic, and I do want to say this, and we're going to reach out to the Haverstraw Police Department directly, I suppose, but it's the speed also with which people are now flying down Campbell Road, and that is probably people that maybe live up on the mountain, I don't know where, but honestly, when I go to my mailbox, I'm like, and I get it quickly, and then zoom, somebody else is flying by. So maybe a little dramatic, but it's very fast traffic. And as we came down this evening, I would have loved to walk, but I don't want to because I don't feel safe. And I've lived here for over 20 years, and it was always fine to walk. But now, in the last few years, it's really getting intense with the traffic, all the noise and the speed. Our dog was just, you know, hit by a car. All I'm saying is, like, the traffic is an issue. But what I want to really also say is you sense how actually open and embracing this village of Pomona has been to the shul making their space bigger, because they're growing, and that's okay. Then we all got together, and, you know, there is just such a wish
And I'm a dreamer, but I thought, imagine, this could be the shul that completely changes the way shuls are built here in Rockland County. This could be like a model for how to do it different, how to make it beautiful. And let's wait. I mean, maybe the plantings of the trees and all of that will come together. Maybe we just have to be patient. And I don't go to church in the morning on the Sunday. I'm not a church goer at all. But for me, our land, that's my church. So when I work in Manhattan, I commute every day, Saturday and Sunday are my 2 days when I appreciate quiet. And I'm really happy that on Shabbat it's super quiet. And I wave to the people that walk by and I have interesting conversations. One of the women once shared with me that in your tradition and in your prayers, you acknowledge an angel that stands behind every sheaf of grass. That made a very deep impression on me. And she's very interested in working with the children. And the children are beautiful. And because we often clean up the woods, right? And where all that trash is just kind of just being dumped there on Daniel's, on David's place. But we interact with the children. And here's something I want you to hear. And that also touched me. One of the little boys, who is very, very upright. He said, when we were cleaning up after that bear strewed all the trash around, he was the one who ran into the shul, who got a roll of plastic paper bags, and he comes back and he said, "We're going to clean it up." And I said, "Oh, you clean up on your side of the fence, and I'm going to clean up here." And he said, "No, I'm going to come to your side of the fence." And he insisted, and so I said, "All right, come on, hop on over." And so we cleaned up together. And it was this little boy who said, because I said, "I think your parents are already committed to coming and helping to clean up. You know, you don't need to do this, but you're so insistent." And then he said, "The adults here, they're just talking. They're never going to come and clean it up. Don't believe what they're saying. They say that, but they're not going to do it. That's why I'm here." Okay? So what model can we be for the children who want to care for the land? And where now this sewage tank is, where the children's playground is supposed to be, where now likely there will be a parking lot. In my dreams, I pictured a beautiful garden there with some beautiful ways where the children can play. I pictured opening our fence to part of our woods so that the children can come and play in our little stretch of woods. Then I hear from that little boy, "Oh, you know, the windows that were crashed in that little cabin that you have down there? Well, that was kids from here, you know. But can I still come?" You get my point. We are willing neighbors, and we want to make this work. And all we're asking is that there is no traffic, no blinking lights, no light pollution, no, you know, whatever. Let's make this a model, something, for something that can be different.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Orange, anyone else on the? No. Okay. So, make a motion to close public comment period.
Second
by Mr. Greenwald. All in favor?
Aye.
Good day. The floor is yours.
Streamlight via Uchnit.com.
Thank you to Dr. Alam Asata for his assistance with the live streaming. Light refreshment was served. The 2025 Autumn Art Exhibition, Pomona Eclectic, is scheduled to open Sunday, September 21st, with the opening reception September 28th, Sunday, from 4 to 7 p.m. The show will feature artists from the village of Pomona. Participating artists include Alice M. Huey, Leslie D. Kenny, Barbara Pollitt, Ray Lexstein, Lisa Louie, Carol Griff Lexstein, Colin Louie, and Adrian Hammond. The event will be open for live attendance and will be streamed live via YouTube. Dr. Alam Asata will assist with the live streaming. The live music performance will feature a duo with Jeremy Wall and John Rehusan. The refreshment will be served as well. The Zelda Puppet Play is scheduled for Sunday, October 19th at 3 p.m. Puppetry will be performed by Pomona resident Robert Pollitt and a guest performer. The fall concert 2025 is scheduled for Saturday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. A purpose budget for the event is $100 for the performers and $150 for hospitality, for the total of $950. So the United States flag at the Carter Center is damaged and need to be replaced. Well, I found out that the village always ordered them from onion.com. The size should be, 5 feet by 8. The one we have now is too big, it's 8 by 10. So, the smaller will be better, plus cheaper. If you buy a 2-pack, it could be for the village hall and for the center. If I have the because this is made in America, so I would be happy to give her the new clothes. So I would like to the mayor and the board to giving an approval for the budget of $950.
Okay, so I will make a motion to approve for the fall concert of 2025, expenditure of $800 for the performers and up to $150 for hospitality, totaling $950. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zaidel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. 3-2 absent. Thank you. Good day. And concerning the roof maintenance... And and hopefully January, hopefully new grants are opening.
Okay.
And we have our eyes on a grant for the cultural center from the state, from Albany, not from the state senate, but from another program. So hopefully that will take care of that. So thank you today. Hopefully we'll have a good fall exhibition. Okay, treasurer report.
I trust you, Joe, will move the resolution that the payment of general funds claims totaling $64,693.38 set forth on page 4. The monthly asset listing dated July 29, 2025 through August 15, 2025, estimated hereby proved subject to individual audits by the Board of Trustees. The payrolls of August 8, 2025 are set forth in payroll in the amount $10,938.63 is hereby submitted for approval, subject to the individual audits by the Board of Trustees. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by trustee.
Any questions? Anything you would like to? Okay. If there's nothing else, then all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Passes. Okay. Anything as far as new business?
Approval of
the minutes. That is correct. So we need to approve both the meeting of the June 23rd and July 28th. So I will make a motion to approve both of these simultaneously. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Greenwald. Any comments, insertions, deletions? If there's nothing of that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So both minutes are approved. Thank you very much. 1 second. As far as new business, anything to discuss?
No.
Nothing? Okay. 1 second. Mr. Orange, anything on your part you want us to discuss?
Yes. I use water for the meeting minutes.
Yeah.
Because the meetings are taking more than 30 minutes, we get only...
I see. It's not part of the subscription. Okay.
Correct. So...
What is the full subscription?
It costs us $99.99 to get it for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get it in full, and instead of taking 10 hours a week,
understood.
So
I will make a motion to approve the expenditure of $100 for the subscription for auditor, seconded by Mr. Greenwald.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No questions.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we are 3-0. And the floor is yours.
Nothing to report publicly.
Anything that will require a executive session?
Nothing.
Okay, anything that requires executive session as far as anybody else here?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay, if there is nothing, I guess I'll make a motion to adjourn, seconded by Mr. Zeidel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will see everybody again in September, last Monday of September.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody.
Good night.
Gedea, you're not traveling this year?
Not really. Just I went to Norrisburg and that's one day.
Well, you haven't been in Bali in 3 years at this point, right?
No, since 2019.
Wow, aren't you?
Yeah, everybody.
Aren't you inkling?